Tonight's shiur, Parshas Chukas. Seder begins. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe bel Aaron leimor zos chukas haTorah asher tzivah Hashem leimor daber b'nei Yisrael v'yichu elecha farah dumat mima she'im bamum asher lo ala aleha ol. Rashi says, "What's zos chukas haTorah lafisha satan ve'uma sa'oila moinin es Yisrael lomar ma mitzvah zos uma tam yeshba." That the Gsat and the Goyim are going to say, "Ah, what kind of a mitzvah is this? There's no sense to it." Nefika kasav b'chuka. Therefore, use the lashon of chukas haTorah. It's a chok. Gzerehi melfanai ein lacha reshus laharehara. Nothing. You're not allowed to think about it. Hashem says, "I have my reasons," and finished. Nishari Mincha asks, "Why does the Dafka the Torah then write it by this? There's plenty of chukim in the Torah besides paraduma, shatnez, basar v'chala, whatever. There's all kinds of mitzvahs we don't understand. So why is it over here Dafka the goyim are gonna say, 'Oh, what kind of a crazy mitzvah?' And we have the Hashem has to write, 'No, zotu chukas haTorah. Don't worry, I know what I'm doing. You can't question it.' Why Dafka over here?" So he answers that most chukim the goyim don't know about. Meaning, so what? So some milk falls in my cholin pot, you know, it's a chok, a bas of a chalav. How many goyim are going to know what happens in my kitchen? Or I'm wearing a garment that happens to have wool and linen. I mean, they don't know. So therefore, the goyim are not going to, most of the time, you know, say anything about our chukim, because they don't know about it. But what's one chok that they will know about? That's paraduma. Why? Like the Gemara says in Kedushin, that it says a story with the Dama ben Netina, right, where they needed the jewel for the Choshen, and then in the end, the Chachamim also needed a paraduma, and wherein he had Hashem gave him a paraduma, this goy. So in other words, the paraduma is something that sometimes we have to go out and ask for, and we were looking for his paraduma. So that's when the goyim start questioning, "Hey, paraduma, what do you need this red heifer for?" And that's when they found out about our chukim, dafka by the paraduma, and that's why, that's where the goyim start questioning us. It says in the pasuk zos Torah, Adam ki yamus ba'ohel, pasuk yudalet. And Chazal darshin, ein haTorah me'niskayim el b'misha me'imi sasmo aleha. That Adam ki yamus ba'ohel, zos haTorah, if you want to have Torah, it's by somebody who's meimi sasmo, Adam ki yamus ba'ohel. You have to kill yourself over the Torah, deprive oneself, as it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, kachi darcho shel Torah, paspa melach tochal, mayim esor atishta. You have to live off bread and water, deprive oneself, that's if you want the Torah to be miskayim. So, Maisa was Rav Meir Shapira Milivlin, that he was once collecting for his yeshiva, and he went to a wealthy man and he asked for a donation. He says, what's this for? So he says, "I'm building a yeshiva." He says, "What do you mean?" So he said, "I'm building a new yeshiva of its kind." You know, until then, there was no such thing as yeshivas like we have it today. This was the first one where there was a dormitory and a chadar ochel, a dining room, a real yeshiva. So he told his gvir, he's collecting for this nice building that he's building with, you know, nice rooms, a kitchen, the whole works. So the man said, "What?" He says, "You expect me to give money for that? You're not supposed to build a yeshiva like that." He says, "Why not?" He says, "What do you mean, why not? You don't know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos? It says, kachi darcha shel Torah, paspa melech tochal, mayim misur atishta. You have to deprive yourself of the Torah. What are these fancy rooms, dining? Kachi darcha shel Torah." So Rav Meir Shapiro answered him with a story. Maise. He said, "Listen." He says, once the Balatanya was traveling, and he got stuck in a town over Pesach. So, Leil Pesach, he went to shul. And his minhag was that he said, like we hear in Minhag Eretz Yisrael, also to say Hallel, with the bracha and everything on Leil Pesach and shul after Marv. So he was in this town, in this shul, where the minhag there was not to say Hallel. But he really wanted to, but he understood, you know, minhag amakom, you know, going to go against the minhag. So he didn't, you know, everybody, you know, went on with Marv and finished Marv, no hollow, and they left the shul. So he, Kilu left with everybody else, but when he saw that the shul cleared out, so he slipped back in by himself and said hollow. You know, tremendous islavas, excitement, saying, Hallel Seder. Oh. All of a sudden, a guy's walking by, and he sees, you know, this person saying, Hallel, and then the shul. So he goes, oh, I got to tell the Rav. So he runs to the Rav, and he goes, oh, there's somebody saying, Hallel, and then your shul. So he goes, what? Chutzpah. So he goes back to the shul, and sure enough, he sees the Baal Tanya, saying, Hallel. So he comes up to him and says, excuse me, what did you do? What did you do? She says, what do you mean? I'm saying Hallel. He says, you're not supposed to say Hallel. He says, why? He says, the Beis Yosef says you're supposed to say Hallel. He says, what do you mean the Beis Yosef is held? He says, yeah. And he smacks the fist on the table. He goes, yeah, but the Ramah says we're not knowing to say Hallel on Leila Seder. So the Baal Tanya says to him, excuse me. He says, I hear you quoting the Ramah. He says, but I have a question. How do you know that when the Ramah said this, he said it smacking on the table? There ain't no game the Ramah to say Hallel. How do you know that's how he said it? Was it smacking his fist on the table? Maybe the Ramah said, oh, what can you do? We're not knowing to say Hallel, but Chaval. So too, said Ramir Shapira to this Gvir. He says, you know, you're saying, how can I have a Yeshiva like this? The Mishnah says, Kachi Darcha Shel Torah. He says, how do you know that that's what the Tana meant? Kachi, this is the way the Torah passed. Maybe the Tana meant it something like, Kachi Darcha Shel Torah? What, this is the way of Torah? Pastor Melech Tochal? My Mitzvah Tish? Oh, Chaval, that's how you have to. That's Chaval. It would be good if you could have a nice meal. That would be the. What can you do? If you can't, you can. Pasuk says, "V'tamisha Miriam." Miriam had died, and then the Klal Yisrael lost their supply of water, or the bear Miriam stopped. The question is asked: Lechora, we have a rule that the Gedola Tzadikim v'Misasam Yoter Michayim. That the tzaddikim are even greater after they die than in their lifetime. So why, in the case of Miriam, when she was alive they had water, Kol Shekin when she dies they should have water, because the tzaddikim are greater after they die. So why did they lose the water after she died? So the Ashiv Avram says the following. Rashi brings down, right, what's the, why right after Paraduma do we have the Maisa with Miriam, the death of Miriam? Lama Niska Misas Miriam Laparshas Paraduma, Lomar Lacha, that Ma, the Rokomosha Paraduma is Mechaperes, Af Mita Sadikim is Mechaperes. Just like the Paraduma is a Mechaper, so too the death of Sadikim is Mechaper. So he explains, what's Pshat? Is it magic? You know, the Sadik dies, oh, Kapara. He says, no, there's a reason behind it. Says the when a tzaddik dies, the people should at least start pondering and thinking, well, why did he die? It says that the tzaddik dies b'avon hador, right? The generation, because they sin, they're not worthy, and therefore that's why the tzaddik dies. It's for the a kapara for the door. So therefore, that should awaken the people and thinking, wow, this tzaddik died because of me, because of us. So we gotta straighten our act up. That's one possibility. Another, and then they do, and therefore it's mechaper, the tzaddik's mechera, because they do tshuva, because they realize that what happened over here. Another possibility is they come to the realization that they're scared, that the tzaddik was protecting him while he was alive. Now he's not alive anymore, he's not here to protect us, we better straighten up our act and do tshuva. So that's how the death of the tzaddik causes a kapara, because the people that are awakened to do tshuva. However, he says that's very nice if, in fact, the people take the lesson. Then, in fact, the tzaddik is greater after his death than his lifetime. In his lifetime, they weren't doing tshuva. Now that he died, they're doing tshuva. He's causing life by him dying. That's if the people take the lesson. But if people don't take a lesson, okay, he died, and that's that. So then there is no kapara, there is no tshuva, there is no kapara. Memela, that's what it says over in the pasuk over here. It says Vitama Sham Miriam, Batikaver Sham. Miriam died, she was buried, finished. Meaning the people didn't take a lesson from Miriam. Didn't take a lesson from Miriam, Memela, there's no water. Right? Yeah, she normally a tzaddik should do more after his death. But that's because people will be awakened by his death. They weren't awakened by Miriam's death. She was just buried there, Batikaver Sham, Memela, that's why they had no water. And it's interesting because the great Miriam You know, you just, that's all it says. Miriam died there and buried. Finished. You know, you think that, you know, like we see later on, maybe Aaron's death, that the people cried, and then nothing. You don't hear people crying. Then nothing. Miriam died and buried. Goodbye. As if, okay, another person died. Miriam and Nibia, you know. And then take the lesson. It says, so after they lost the water supply, it says, Veloya Maim Leida, they had no water, Vikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. So they came and they gathered against Moshe and Aaron, the people. Vayarev Aam, he Moshe, and they started up with Moshe. And they said to him, Velu Gavanu Bigvachinu Lifnei Hashem. So the interesting question, why it says that they came to Moshe and Aaron. Right, we kalu al Moshe v'Aaron. They gathered to Moshe and Aaron. Vayarav ha'ami Moshe. So why did they only start in Moshe? They came to Moshe and Aaron. So why does the pasuk continue? Next pasuk, and they started up with Moshe. What about Aaron? They came to both of them. So the Ben Ishchai says that the bear of Miriam, you know, came of course in the schus of Miriam. They got their water supply because of Miriam. Now Miriam is made up of the letters Mayim and Resh. Right, Mem, Resh, Yud, Mem. So there's Mayim in there and Resh. Resh in Gematria is 200. 200 is a Gematria of Misela. So it's Mayim, Misela. That's Miriam, is the same as Mayim and Resh, which is Misela. Mayim, Misela. And that's when, because in Schus of Miriam, the water came from the rock, the bear of Miriam. So she died, and the people came to Moshe and Aaron, and they said, okay, we need water. So Aaron said, what are you coming to me for? Miriam, Mayim, Misela, you know her name, but what does Aaron have to do with anything? Nothing to do with water. So what are you coming to me for? So he said, okay. So therefore they came to Moshe. Why Moshe? Because Moshe's name does have to do with water. What does Moshe mean? Kimina Mayim Mishisiyu. And the Ben Ishchai says more than that. He says that Moshe is Egyptian. Mo in Egyptian means water, and She means to take out. Moshe means to take out from water. That's what Moshe means in Egyptian. So Mela, they came to Moshe and Aaron, but then Aaron said, what are you coming to me for? My name has nothing to do with water. Nothing to do with water. I said, okay, so therefore, they came to Moshe, Moshe, you do have something to do with water. Moshe, you're taken from water. It says, following this pasuk, they complained to Moshe and they said, "Lama elisunu, why did you bring us up from Mitzrayim? Lavio sanu el makom araz, this bad place. Lo makom zera uteina vegefen verimon. There's no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates. Umayim ein lishtos, and there's no water to drink." So why dafka now were they complaining about their lacks of figs and pomegranates? You know, all of a sudden now they're no water and they're complaining about no fruit. Okay, but what does the fruit have to do? They didn't have fruit until then now either. Why now? And secondly, they said, we don't have any water. So what happened in the end? Moshe brought them water, but he never solved the problem of the lack of fruit. And they said, we have no fruit, and my mind, we don't have water either. So what happened? Moshe brought them water. Okay, but they also say they have no fruit. Whatever happened, he didn't bring answer the fruit problem. So, it's an interesting shot from the Pnei Aryeh Zuta, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that says a city that doesn't have fruit, the Rabbi Akiva says that you shouldn't live there. Why? Because fruit has a healing effect. It's Me'irim Eseinayim. It improves one's eyesight. Fruit has a healing effect. So therefore, you should live always in a city that has fruit. Now, there's a midrash that says that there was once a blind person, and he went to Toivol once, and when he came out of the mikvah, he got his eyesight back. And the midrash said, what happened? He happened to have toiveled in the bear of Miriam. He didn't realize it, that he was toiveling in the waters of the Miriam, and it cured him. So with that, he explains, and in fact, it's interesting, believe it or not, you think, okay, cute midrash, you know. But there's a Rama in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchah Shabbos, Simen Reish Tzadik Tet, at the end, the Rama. He says, I quote, V'yesh omrim lidlot b'chol motzei Shabbos. That a person should draw water every motzei Shabbos, the Rama in Shulchan Aruch. You should draw water every motzei Shabbos. Why? Ki be'era shel Miriam sovev kol motzei Shabbos kol be'eros. Because the bear of Miriam, to this day, travels around and goes to different be'eros. And if you happen to get lucky and drink from the water you drew, happen to be from the Be'er of Miriam, it'll cure all your sicknesses. It comes from a kolbo. The Ramam brings it down. So they need to draw water and Mothashama to drink it. Mele, so that's what that was. That's what's going on over here. The people didn't have water. They didn't have the Be'er of Miriam. The Be'er of Miriam we saw has a curing effect. Cures all diseases. This blind guy went in it and he became cured. So the people were complaining, no water, no, there's no cures. Where the Be'er of Miriam's gone, we have no cures. So therefore they said, at least if we had fruit, because fruit also have a curing effect. So therefore they said to Moshe, is it lo makom zera teina gefen verima, we have no fruit and no water. If we had the Be'er of Miriam, we don't need the fruit. But now we don't have the Be'er of Miriam, so we don't have the fruit. When we don't have the fruit, we need at least fruit. So then what did Moshe do? He brought back the Be'er of Miriam. So now we don't need the fruit anymore. So we asked, well, Moshe only solved the water problem, didn't solve the fruit problem. The fruit was only necessary. He didn't have the Be'er of Miriam, which was the curing effect. Now you have the Be'er of Miriam back. You don't need the fruit. So the Peledek Maisa, during the end, at the end of the Holocaust, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, the Nazis, so when they saw they were at the end of the war, when they're losing the war, so they gathered up the remaining Yidden from the camps, whatever, and when they retreated, they took the Jews with them. And this is called the famous Death March. So they didn't give them food, no water, no nothing, and they just had to walk kilometer after kilometer, many, 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 many kilometers, and anybody who couldn't handle it would just fall down, they'd shoot them on the spot. So here are these Jews, you know, walking, no food, no drink for days. And they got to a point where the Nazis themselves had to take a rest every now and then, you know. So they said, okay, we're resting here. Everybody was in some field and everybody just collapsed. So the Kloisenberger Rebbe was one of the people in the death march. The Yidden turned to the Rebbe and they said, Rebbe, that's it. We can't go on anymore. No. We without some water, a drink of water. We haven't drank in days. Nothing. We just can't. We have no kolach to get up without some water, and they're not going to get up. They're just going to shoot us. We're all dead. Finish. This is the end. It's over. So the Rebbe says, we got to do ishtadlus. Got to do ishtadlus. Hashem yazor. But we got to do something. We just got to do some ishtadlus. Says Rebbe, what should we do? What kind of ishtadlus can we do? We have no water. He says, we have to dig. He says, dig. He says, yes, we have to dig. Ishtadlus. So he starts scratching the ground, digging with his, how much strength did he have left in his hand? And he says, starts digging with his hand, with his fingers. And the Yidden also started, okay, Rebbe's doing it. So he started scratching the ground, whatever. And all of a sudden, water started coming up. Water started coming up, fresh spring water. And they drank, and they drank, and they drank, and they drank. And that gave them the koach to be able to get up and to continue their journey. And the Rebbe said, he said, I'm sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that in this time when we were in this stress, and you know this was it, and we did this ishtalos, it was the Be'er of Miriam that Hashem brought us at that point in that field. And that's what gave him the strength to continue. Tell it. Says, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Moshe and Aaron were told, "Vidibartem el Asela." So one pshat in Chazal is they were told, "Shina alav perek echad v'hu motzi min Asela," that they were supposed to. What does it mean, "Dibartem"? Not speak to the rock like, "Hey, how you doing, rock? What's going on?" You know, but rather to learn by the rock. Speak to the rock means they should learn by the rock, and then the water will come. So the Das Traga says that. What happens is for 40 years they were in the Midbar and Hashem brought them water, brought them on, whatever, everything was a nace. So they're getting worried now. They're thinking, look, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and we're going to have to work. You know, it's very nice in the Midbar, all these nisim, but it's going to come to an end. We're going to have to sit and work. And what's going to be with our learning? And we can't sit and learn because only, and we can't live off learning. And what are we going to do? So Hashem wanted to show them and said, Moshe and Aaron, speak to the rock, meaning learn by the rock, and then there'll be the water will come. To teach them that it's through the Torah, through Lima the Torah, that brings bracha. And therefore, just learn by the rock and it'll bring forth water. And therefore, what's going to be? Yeah, we have to work. You don't have to work so much. You can learn, and the learning itself will bring the bracha. Just like the learning by the rock brings the bracha of the water. So Maisa with the Ponovitcher Rav, that he opened a yeshiva when he was young, and he needed some money, so he needed to collect for his yeshiva. So he asked his father-in-law, which is a very chashuva Rav, well-known Rav, and to go with around with him, you know, to help him collect, because he has a name or whatever. So they went door to door, whatever, but they weren't successful. They made very little money. So his father-in-law said, "Look, we tried, I tried," and he just left. So the Ponovitch Rav didn't give up, and he continued. So later on, he bumped into his father-in-law. He says, "No, so what's going on?" So he says, "Oh, ever since you left, I was very successful. Made a lot of money." So he says, "Well, what's pshat? I don't understand." So he explained what was the pshat. He said that, when my father-in-law was with me, what was his kavanas in going collecting? Is to help his son-in-law. He says, "I'm going to go do the mitzvah of chesed and help my son-in-law collect for yeshiva." His kavanas were what? To help his son-in-law. But he said, when he left, and I had to collect by myself, said the Ponovitch Rav, what was my intent? Why was I collecting? For the yeshiva, for Torah. So since I had pure kavanas, collect for Torah, that's why I was successful at Siyat Rishmaya. Whereas my father-in-law was collecting for me, to help me, so they didn't get the same Siyat Rishmaya. Okay, Rashi brings down, Pasuk says, "V'yishlach Moshe malachim mikadesh el melech Edom." And Moshe sent these messengers. And we find that later on, it's in Pasuk Kafalof, the Pasuk says, "V'yishlach Yisrael malachim el shichon melech Amori." So Rashi says, it's interesting, "V'mechom echer tole ashlichos b'Moshe," like we saw. Right here it says, "V'yishlach Yisrael malachim." They sent, Yisrael sent messenger. In another place it said, "Moshe sent v'eshlach malachim b'midbar kademos," and also "V'yishlach Moshe malachim mikadesh el melech Edom," etc. So what is it? Who's sending the messengers? Is it Israel or is it Moshe? "Haksavim alalu," says Rashi, "tzrichim ze lezeh. Ze noel v'ze poter." This one locks, this one opens, meaning, "Shemoshe hu Yisrael, v'Yisrael hu Moshe." The answer is, they're one and the same. Right? The reason why the Torah wants Moshe, wants the Israel, because there's no difference. Moshe is Israel, Israel is Moshe. "Lomar lacha, shenasi ador, hu kechol ador, ki anasi hu akol." He's the door. He is the door. He's the whole generation. Because the nasi hu akol, he's everything. That's what we learn from these psukim. There was a maisa with after World War I, there was a tremendous famine in Europe, and of course the yeshivas are naturally, they're also affected. You know, they didn't have food for the bachrim, whatever. It was a very, very serious matzah. So the Vadi Yeshivas, which was headed by the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Moser, so they had a meeting to see what to do about the matzah. So they're discussing what to do. So finally somebody got up and said, I think our only solution is somebody has to go to America and do some fundraising and make some money, we'll have food for the bachram." So, and the person continued and says, "But you know, if any one of us just goes, I mean, how successful are we going to be?" So I feel, he said, that Rav Chaim Moser should go. Right? Rav Chaim Moser, the Gadol HaDor, is going to go to America. People are going to give him guns, fine. So he has to go. So everybody's head turns to Rav Chaim Moser, and what do you say about this? So he says, you know, nice idea, but he says, "I'm sorry, I'm not well enough to, don't have enough koach to start schlepping around and going to America and collecting money. I just can't. I don't have the koach." So the person had he got up and he said, "Yeah, but Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. Okay, Rebbe, it's hard, you know, as you don't have the koach. But sometimes the person has to be Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. So Rebbe, you have to be Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael." So the Chafetz Chaim put his 2 cents and he says, "What do you mean, in Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael?" He says, "Rav Chaim Ozer is Klal Yisrael. So you don't Moser Klal Yisrael for Klal Yisrael." Rav Chaim Ozer is Klal Yisrael. Moser Klal Yisrael for Klal Yisrael. It doesn't make sense. It's not much what we see in the Rashi. Pasuk says, Perkafalaf Kavzain says, Al Kain Yomru Amoshlim Bo Cheshbam. So Chazal and Baba Basra, Dafayin Chesam and Beis, Darshan, the Al Kain Amru Amoshlim Bi Yitzram Bo Nachvinachshov Cheshbano Shalol. That the Chachamim found a remez over here that a person has to make a cheshbon and nefesh. There's a mitzvah, a veras that he does. And Al Kain Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Cheshbon is a cheshbon. A person must make a cheshbon and olam, make a cheshbon and nefesh. So Rav Aaron HaKohen was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. He said, well, what are Chazal doing over here? In other words, what's the pshat? The pshat l'chura, simple pshat in the pasuk is that what's Cheshbon? Cheshbon, as Rashi said, was a city. This was a city that was Moav had control over. It belonged to Moav, and then Sichon, they wanted to take over Cheshbon. They wanted to capture it and make it theirs. So they put tremendous effort, cost a lot of money, you know, make a war to try to, you know, to capture a town. And in fact, it was very difficult. And as the pasuk says, they hired Bilam in order to curse them, in order to capture them, that they should be able to capture Cheshbon. And in the end, it worked, and they did. And they cursed Moab, and they got were able to capture Sichon, was able to capture Cheshbon. But what was this all for? So that's a pashup shot in the puzzles. What are Chazal telling us? Oh, a person has to make a cheshbon and nefesh. What's the connection? So what happened in the end? Chazal tell us that this was all a planned out by Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Klal Yisrael, they were not allowed to capture cheshbon as long as it belonged to Moab, because we're not allowed to wage war against Moab. So what did Hashem do? He put in the minds of Sichon to capture cheshbon in the town. And then, now it belongs to Sichon. We can fight against Sichon, and we capture Sichon. So we capture Sichon and Cheshbon. So he says, you see what happens over here? Can you imagine? Here's Sichon, and they're saying, okay, they're investing all this money and effort, and then hiring Bill and whatever to capture Cheshbon. What was it all for? Just so Klal Yisrael can have them and Cheshbon, and both of them. Otherwise, Klal Yisrael couldn't have had them. So here they put all this effort just so their enemy, Klal Yisrael, could have them and the town they captured. So he says that's the same thing that a person has to think about with a person's life. Why? It happens time and time again that people put tremendous efforts into Gashmias, and only to lose it in the end to somebody even they don't like. The Chovas HaLevavot says, you have a man, he works hard and hard and hard and makes a lot of money. What happens? And then he dies, and his wife goes, marries his enemy, and all his money goes to his enemy. Here he worked his whole life for all his money. What? It goes to his enemy. That's exactly what happened over here. Right? Here is Sichon working so hard to capture Cheshbon, and what happens? Just so now Klal Yisrael can capture what do they win? Put so hard effort, or it goes to their enemy. So he says, a person has to make a cheshbon, bo cheshbon, make a cheshbon when a person, what person puts his efforts in. And to add to that, there was once a guy who owned a store, a makolet, and for many years. One day, a friend of his comes into the store and sees he's not there. He sees his sons are taking the business. He says, wait, where's your father? He said, oh, our father. He says, why, what happened? Father went crazy. He said, crazy? He says, yeah, he's sitting in the apartment learning all day. Yeah, crazy. He says, well, let me go visit, you know, Bikur Holi. So he goes up and then he goes to the apartment. Sure enough, he sees him with the Gemara open learning. He says, what happened to you? What's going on? So he says, I'll tell you exactly what happened to me. You know, he says, I used to be in Avreich after I got married, learned a little bit. And then I saw, you know, times got tough and I couldn't make ends meet. So I had to go out to work. So I opened up a makolet, you know. And Baruch Hashem, I was doing quite nicely, made a nice living, put money aside, you know, savings, etc. He said, a half a year ago, a friend of mine approaches me and he says, you know, you have all this money sitting in the bank. He said, what a chaval, well, it's a waste. Why don't you make it, you know, make your money work for you? He says, what do you mean? He says, you have to invest it, do some, and then you can, you know, multiply your earnings. He says, what do you have in mind? He says, well, leave it to me. I'm very, you know, very into the stock market. Just give me the money. I'll invest in the stock market. You'll see, you'll double, triple your money. It's chaval, leave your money in the bank. So he says, okay, I believed him. I trusted him. I gave him all my money, all my savings. Last week, the guy comes to me, knocks on the door. He's white as a sheet. I said, what happened? He said, the stock market crashed. He says, all your money, goodbye. So I thought to myself, I don't believe it. I thought to myself, 30 years of hard work, I put all this money aside, and in a splash, gone, disappeared. So I said, you know, what a waste. So it's about time that I invest in something that I can't lose, Torah. Nobody can take that away from you, all the zchuyos of Torah. That's why I'm sitting and learning, investing now in something that can't be taken away. So too, he said, that's the but a person has to put his efforts in the prison, money, this and that, whatever, and it get taken away from him. A person has to put his efforts in Torah, something which is there, lo'olam. It's one last word. It's when the Ben Ish Chai. He teaches, what's Pshat Bo Cheshbon, Mekah Cheshbono Shel Olam. He explains this based on the Gomorrah and Kedushin. Where Kedushin says a person should always see himself as if he's half Zakai and half Chayiv. He's exactly 50-50. Half of Eris, half mitzvahs. That's how a person should look at himself. And therefore, says the Gemara, you should imagine that if I'm 50-50, one Vera, I'm finished. Tilts the scales and I'm gone. One mitzvah, So, you know, if you always think like that, 50-50, you'll just do that extra mitzvah to tip the scales. The Gemara continues, and also, v'chein yireh ha'olam k'chetzi zach v'chetzi chayev. A person should look at the world also like that. The whole world, in total, there's, maybe the world's right now in the balance, half mitzvahs and half of eris, taking everybody into account. And therefore, one mitzvah, you can tilt the world to zchus, and one of eris, chas v'shalom, the other way. That's the Gemara. So he says that when it comes to the individual, the Yetzer Hara gets involved and says, what do you mean? You're 50-50? 50-50. You're probably 90-10. You're 90 schuyos. A little averas, a few averas. You're probably 90, you know, positive, 10 negative. So you do one avera. You're still way ahead of the game. So that's the Yetzer Hara. Okay? So therefore, says Chazal, what should a person do? Bo v'nachshov cheshbono shel olam. Don't look at yourself. If you look at yourself, you'll say, I can afford a few veras. I'm not fit. So don't look at yourself. Fine, you're 90-10. Make a cheshbono olam. Look at the whole olam. The whole olam, you're not everybody's as great as you are. And therefore, the world might be 50-50. The world, for the sake of the world, therefore, you have to do that extra mitzvah. Because the world's 50-50. Therefore, bo nachshav cheshbono shel olam. Make the cheshbono of the world. In the world, you still have to do that extra mitzvah. With Hashem, we should do more than this. The one mitzvah, we zocha to do many, many, many mitzvahs. And that's chus. Hashem Baruch Hu should see our efforts and bring us the Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen.